The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Power within another store 15 to 20 million.
Jump out!
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we do our best to keep people united and behind the American flag, looking for the best ways to help America move forward. I want to say a special thank you to all of you that tune in my travels and the various events that I attend. I'm glad that people are speaking up. I'm always very proud to give out our flyers highlighting our panel members because they really help add life to our broadcasts. And of course, what they have done over the years, I wish the national media, and I also wish that some of the local media would do that. I'm going to mention a few things about that today as we get closer to another celebration, November as a Made in America Month. Well, if you have a family or friend that's interested in supporting America, ask them to tune into 860 AM radio if they live in the Philadelphia tri-state area. However, they can listen live from the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. That is Wednesdays between 11 a.m. and 12 noon, and you'll be able to listen to our broadcast today and all past broadcasts from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com by clicking on the Listen Anytime link. Well, first of all, I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, our national small business advocate, Rich Loges, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to hear from you. I welcome your emails. I welcome your comments. And I do, as you know, share your thoughts with our people on Wednesdays and Saturdays to get things moving along so that people, everybody knows that we want everybody united as one. And as we get closer on this Wednesday, October the 20th, to celebrating November as American Made Month, I want you to know that I'm asking all of you to go on the front page of our internet site and click on American Made Month and send it out to family and friends so that they have advance notice of what we're trying to do. You know, we started this effort on this radio broadcast 8 years ago. Unbelievable how that time flew away. And political people love the campaign and they want to offer proclamations and show their support for a great effort. Yay! Wonderful. We have all those proclamations in our files, and they represent paper. But no further action from legislatures or councils that unite people behind what is written in the proclamations. They're very nice. I can't tell you anything but greatness about them. Newspapers and radio programs also love the idea when we contact them, but because November American Made Month represents a focused effort. Advertisements have to be purchased, mainly because such promotions benefit companies large or small, and money for those businesses being promoted during Made in America Month. It's a real crazy situation. The bottom line is, this effort is another effort that all of us, people like you and me and Larkin and Rich and Henry and everybody else that's tuned in, we have to go out of our way to promote such efforts because otherwise we have to purchase newspaper, radio, or television advertisements. And I do know how expensive that is because during October, as we celebrate Polish Heritage Month, we do put advertisements in various papers and in newspapers, and it is not cheap. So promoting an effort like November as American Made Month is not too easy. Another example of how we talked about last week, corporate boards control what happens when it comes to efforts that they themselves do not initiate. They tell us that they have their directives and their rate sheets available and welcome us to take advantage of their services. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. So America's future is really in our hands, and I think that delay in, you know, accepting that fact is hurting all of us. I'd like to turn today first to Larkin Conley. Larkin, what is going on, and how is everything in your end of the world?
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning to Henry. And I'll take the lead here and say thank you, Henry, for making us sound good every week on the radio. I don't know. It's been an extremely interesting week. The Biden Commission on the Supreme Court has released their decision, and after an issuance of the commission's primary draft, they seem to be pushing back on packing the courts and that initiative in order to pack our Supreme Courts is probably now gone by the wayside, thank goodness.
Thank God.
I believe the commission called it court packing and a partisan move and advised that it be not considered. And so that has gone into the woods and disappeared. I got to congratulate San Francisco for alienating another national chain from their city of and operations. Walmart has decided to close all their San Francisco stores. The city of San Francisco isn't just experiencing a run of bad luck. Its rampant shoplifting problem is directly rooted in a terrible, terrible citywide policy that says that they will not prosecute shoplifters.
Yeah.
Walgreens said, our stores are reputedly losing more than $1,000 a day due to shoplifting, and that's just, those aren't the rules by which we decided to play when we made an investment in the infrastructure as well as the business community in San Francisco. So they're pulling out and saying goodbye to San Francisco, closing all their stores and leaving, which I think San Francisco's have brought upon themselves. By the way, I gotta let you know, Gavin Newsom, that wonderful governor of the state of California, signed 770 new laws just recently. To talk about writer's cramp. I mean, this California is the most amazingly overregulated, controlled state that we could possibly ever imagine having. And the funny thing is that for decades, the country has always been one step behind California. They'll pass all these laws. Three of them might stand out as good legislation, and boom, everybody else in the country passes it. Most of the environmental laws, which are good, and I won't get into whether they're strong enough or not too strong, but most of them come out of California. And those are all the regulations that we operate our environment on. So, beyond that, Michael, it's been, I probably ought to mention the 1.7 million people who have been detained at the border in 2021. 1.7. And I have to applaud the Biden administration for their new level of tactics. That all of the flights, they're taking the children and families, and they're sticking them on these planes, and they're taking off out of small airports on the border. and they're dispersing them to cities unknown. Nobody knows where these flights are going, but they pull, you know, they land in Dubuque, Iowa, and you know, unload 220 illegal aliens and say, thanks a lot. We can't keep on leaving them at the border since the border is now in such ill repair and in such trouble. So it's really...
Well, Larkin, this is another issue. One person should never be allowed to have this kind of control of anything. I mean, the borders really should be something that we, the taxpayers, we, the voters, we American people speak up about and are then talk to our elected officials in Washington, and then they make some kind of a decision. A single person, a president, a vice president, whoever it is, should never have this kind of power. It doesn't make sense. If our country at this point is overwhelmed with debt, then we bring in all these additional people. These people are not going to be accepted in these various communities, be it Ohio, Pennsylvania. It's somehow the government is going to have to reach into its cookie jar and pay money it doesn't have to support these people. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me.
Well, you know, the problem is the intrusion of the government. You know, I have several T-shirts. I've put them away because I'm too old to wear them. But it says, you know, big government sucks, and it does. And the closer you can get the ruling of the people to the curb, as I say, in other words, sitting here in St. Augustine, Florida, I should be concerned with the local board of education and the county commissioners, and all of that should culminate with the control of the state. This would give us 50 opportunities to run our states the way we want to run them. But on the other hand, what's happening in Washington, D.C. is what I call the creep of socialism. And that, you know, socialism, what an overused word, particularly undefined word, that really doesn't at times make a lot of sense. But what socialism creep is the government creeping into our lives with everything from universal health care to telling our board of education how we should educate our kids. My favorite one that hasn't gotten a lot of press that I believe will be an issue that is brought up again with Biden trying to appease the far left of his party is universal basic income. That hasn't reared its head of late, but it's, you know, universal basic income is you're born at the age of 18, you get a stipend every month and receive pay to allow you to live.
So yeah, that's a cradle to the grave, they call it. Cradle to the grave care of government. I don't understand that. I think that this all has to be changed around, and the people have to, I don't know if it's going to be the midterms or the next presidential, but something has to come to an end with this nonsense, because we're wasting our time, we're wasting the well-being of the people in our country. You know, you're talking about socialism. People that came from Europe 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and lived under communism said this is exactly what they experienced in those communist governed countries, where government was everything. Government was to be feared. You didn't ask questions. You just went along to get along. And this is what it's coming to in the United States. Just listening to some of the press conferences coming out of the White House now, it's just, we do whatever we want to do, and the hell with the taxpayers and the American people. It makes no sense. How do you change it, Larkin?
Well, Michael, I'm not sure. I really have been full of answers in the past, and at this point we are thinking that we are in a position in this country where, I don't make excuses for the people who stormed the Capitol. And I think it was a pretty despicable activity. Mm-hmm. But when things like this happen, it's not, it's necessary for the Congress to step back and go, what's happening here? What caused this? They prefer to take a politics as usual look at this and say, well, that's just those far right crazy people that are Republicans that don't like the way things are going, and they're going to try to take over the country. Well, I hate to remind everybody in this country how we responded to King George and his attempt to rule the country. We kind of started a war, won the war, and went off on our own. So to poo-poo what's going on amongst these groups that are very, very aggravated, right or left, it makes no difference. And to just say, well, we have to have a congressional hearing so we can throw Trump in jail, or we can put Bannon in jail. I don't even know what that committee is trying to do. It's more of a prosecutorial approach than it is what's going on
here. I agree.
What's going on here and how do we fix it?
And, you know, Larkin, all of that time wasted in the news media really should be spent on time really that is going to help America. We talk about common sense issues. The thing is this. By the way, I think all the delays in unloading the shipping containers from foreign countries was good for the American people to see. It really brought attention to the fact that in many cases, 70, 80, and 90% of the products that we had available coming from our counties in America are now foreign made. You know, Larkin, the supply chain for over 200 years was Pennsylvania shipping stuff to Pennsylvania, to shipping it to Delaware, shipping it to New Jersey. This whole global economy started to really blossom in the late 60s, 70s, and they tell me that it really hit the point in 1992, and it continued all the way through 2008. The entire time, it just continued to grow and grow and grow. We talked about corporate boards last week. Unfortunately, what happened in many of the cases, there was a gentleman who had contacted me, and he's from a pitch. What's it called, Henry? The guy forgot the name of it. Pitch Book or something. He said to me, what they do is they help attract businesses out of the United States and take them overseas. He also told me, he said, once those businesses move overseas, the boards and all in America are just like puppet boards. The people making the stuff and shipping the stuff and the merchandisers control 95% of everything. He also said, very interesting, some of the stuff that was taken overseas to China, Vietnam, and Japan or wherever, he said, yes, at one time those companies were ruled by Wall Street. However, in more recent years, a lot of those brand names and all were bought by foreign countries. So boards, or they call them supervisors over there, supervisors govern over where they're going to sell the products, how much they're going to sell the products, how much the people are paid over there. It has nothing to do with what we would like to see done, and there is no way to influence Communist China. He was very well spoken.
Michael,
he said Communist China has a board of its communist directors, and they have thousands and thousands of companies under their control that at one time were on Wall Street, but they're not today.
So it's imperative for this program and for this movement to understand the game board. You can't sit down on a monopoly board and play sorry.
Right.
You have to play with the cards that you've been dealt. Capitalism demands that shareholders as well as employees be delivered a decent profit through their activities. So
Lark and I agree 1,000%, but in many cases these days, quietly, all those products that we thought so highly of are controlled by people in foreign countries. Many of them are communist.
Well, they are, of course.
And they don't care if what we think. If you want it, you buy it according to what we tell you it's valued at, period.
Okay, let me try this approach. Let me see if this works. Let's talk about the state of New York and the state of Pennsylvania, two large states that have unique populations, they're just two great, great states that have great GMPs. So in Pennsylvania, we're manufacturing sweaters, and we're selling them to North and South Carolina, Georgia, and we're just knocking people dead with the sweaters that we're making. They're stylish. Their colors are correct. They're assembled properly. And all of a sudden, somebody from New York who also makes sweaters contacts those states, those customers, and says, listen, I'll make the same sweater, but it'll be $4 a piece less.
Right. I agree. I understand that better.
The people who make that decision are making that decision, that fiduciary responsibility that they have to the company to increase capitalism. We can't make patriotism part of why our capitalism works or doesn't work. It's not part of the axiom.
I understand, but listen, here's a very good idea. The people who control the shipping industry. Now, I haven't shipped anything over here, and so I don't know. But at one time, they said a container was $1,900. Today, it's $13,000.
Yes, that's true.
It was not decided by anyone in the United States. It was decided by the shipping companies who are mainly owned by foreigners.
Okay, and it's an element of capitalism called supply and demand.
So what you're saying, Larkin,
if only so many are leaving the shores of Vietnam or any point in Asia to America, and that flow has been as paying customers has been reduced by 75%. Well, then you try to spread your costs over. It's called supply and demand.
It is.
It's what's happened in the gasoline industry all the time, and people didn't get it.
You know, Larkin.
When we were being interrupted by embargoes in the gasoline world back in the 70s and 80s, we raised the price. We raised the price because we knew it was a fungible item and we were only going to have so much of it based on embargoes. And we didn't want to run out of it. So we raised the price. And people said, well, they're gouging. You know, we weren't gouging. There just is no other way to slow down the flow of gasoline than to raise the price.
It has
a critical effect on the volume of gasoline that's pumped. But people didn't understand that. They just saw the price. That's America. All hail to America. All they saw was the price. They didn't see the problem. They didn't see an answer. They, But then the marketplace responded. SUVs went away. They wouldn't couldn't buy them anymore. These big four-wheel, these big pickup trucks, they all went away because they were gas guzzlers and there wasn't the product available. Now we become independent of outside forces as far as crude oil is concerned. And the, guess what? We're back to driving the biggest SUVs you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
So cool. it's the marketplace. It's the marketplace that demands.
The thing that I'm concerned about, Larkin, is the marketplace is not controlled by Americans as it was 25, 30 years ago.
No, people, and it's not going to be.
People from around the world are controlling us. So is it time for us to start all over again and begin to make things again, like clothing, shoes, toys, and thousands of other products, so that our supply chain in America grows? I want to ask Mark. Mark, I have a question for you. How many of your suppliers are having major difficulty getting their product to market?
How you doing, Mike? I just joined you, and Larkin. I'm not sure who else is on, but I want to answer that question, but I want to do one thing first, Mike. We just welcomed our 1,000th bus at the Made in America store. Very proud of that, and our team. I came from right outside a Newcastle, PA. Larkin, you probably know where that is. Very nice bus, but to have 1,000 buses come within 11 years, of course, the pandemic devastated that industry, and to see them coming back, we had over 50 buses in the last month, which has just been amazing. We had 7-8 over the weekend from every state in the country, and I want to tie that to my interviews lately. I've had local Buffalo News, TV4 was there today. I did Radio 2 interviews and Associated Press Saturday. My big point, and I think it ties with your talk today. So I've got interviewed and I talk about rapid inflation, and you guys are talking about that product shortage and how it affects General Welding and Made in America and worker shortage. So these interviews, especially with the Associated Press Saturday, and they were wonderful since the beginning. But I said what the news missed, World News, Nightly News last week, all the news channels, our president's on, we're going to demand more hours at our ports, and making union workers work more is sometimes like pushing rope. So that's probably not going to work well. Then what I told her, though, you're missing the whole disconnect. Our products, my 500 vendors are doing very well. They got more demand than they've had in decades. Made in America is the ticket. I don't rely on shipping containers. Of course, we want 50-50 fair trade. But God hit the reset button here, guys. This is growing our 500 vendors like you've never seen. They're running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They will not mention it on national news. I just talked to the Associated Press. There's so many disconnects. My new shirt's going to be Made in America store, giving people a purpose, not a free check. And that's going to go out pretty soon. So we've got a lot going on, but at General Welding, I explained I can't get 4-inch drop axles. We can't get steel. It's closing us down. They're refusing steel orders because for 40 years we've disabled our supply chains. Now it's time, and the pandemic, and I think God above, is causing this to happen now. We're not relying on the shipping containers. When our president did an executive order first month of this year, Made in America, tied a person to the policyholder. I read the whole policy on the radio yesterday, but they never mentioned it last week. Once, Made in America. So what we're doing, guys, we're sitting on a rocket. Watch the reset buttons hit, because our vendors, we have product, Mike. This is huge news. I've been interviewed 6 times in the last 3 days. They missed it. The lady from Associated Press agreed we did miss it. They're not talking and supporting these vendors that are working so hard in our own country. They're worried we shouldn't be relying on all these shipping containers. Sorry. We want 50-50 fair trade, but we've got a lot of work to do at home first. So I'm not so worried about them shipping containers.
No, and I'll tell you, if they stayed out there in the port till after Christmas, I think it would be a lesson to the people. Let the people see what the hell has been going on. What the leadership. There's been too many incentives to keep people out of the workforce over the years, to keep people in poverty. They didn't give a damn about the American people.
Mike, prices aren't going down either, guys. I hope you enjoyed your prices for the last 10, 20 years. Our steel, our trailer, My small American grill, we just recost. It used to be $156 to make it. It's $431 today. Welcome aboard. Everything. My trailers are doubled. Prices aren't going down for years, and then it'll get competitive again. We are rebuilding America right now, and hold on, buckle up, because we haven't seen nothing yet. You can talk all you want about economy and, you know, capitalism. It doesn't matter right now. People are just want products. They can't get products. And we have products at the Made in America store, and I'm proud of that. These buses, we had a bus spend $4,000 or $5,000 in an hour. People are Christmas shopping now, but Made in America products, my green toys, Channel Craft toys, they're doing wonderful, and it's great to see these American vendors getting back to work, but they're not getting the respect they deserve because they're working very hard.
Yep, you're
can
right.
Can I stick something?
Yes, Larkin.
In here, Mark, what you have just said was where this country was to some degree in the 1950s. One starts a small business when one sees a need that has to be filled. There's nobody
right
out there today in our world trying to start up a typewriter manufacturing company because there are no demands for typewriters. But if you
right
face a free economy like ours with the issues that Mark just spoke about, that's where you get the result. That's where the answer
yep
comes back and hits us right in the face. So
absolutely, and there's no choice.
Right.
Go ahead, Larkin. You're saying, you know, you find a want, fill a want, find a need, fill a need, and that's what Larkin's
right
talking about. But it has to happen right now, which is kind of neat. And I love it. You could add automation, 3D printed. You could add all our technologies, and it's kind of neat. But people, and the price isn't the question, which is interesting, Larkin, because our Made in America vendors, 500 of them, are doing well, and they're raising their prices to adjust, and they're going to put the same margins on. So it's really beautiful. They got all the demand they ever wanted, but now they can go to town, and they're going to have some capital building from this, and it's kind of neat to watch this happen. It's going to take years,
but it is happening. Those high prices will eventually adjust themselves when the marketplace gets back into
absolutely
control, and there are people out there filling the needs.
Absolutely.
No, you're right.
Compete.
You're right.
Now they have to compete. So this is an answer. The answer is not what Joe Biden came up with. I'm sorry, Jumpin' Joe, but your issue of how you were going to resolve the problem of the supply chain was one of the most blatant exhibitions of a president having no idea what he's talking about. I mean,
Build back better, Larkin?
Larkin, just announced that you're going to increase the hours at the ports. Come on, you need to put a little more effort into that, especially after launching the Made in America agenda this year. And, you know, it's just,
by the way,
it doesn't go together.
Mark, I want to tell you that Buy American provision that the president put in his he put that across the board. However, it's so bad in America right now that a lot of the stuff that the government buys is already commissioned from foreign countries. We don't have places that provide those services to the school districts and all. They're all foreign made. So we screwed ourselves
right
in the process of allowing, you know, the leadership at the top. All of our problems today are a result of bad leadership in the United States for 30 years plus.
No.
Every minute of attention from all levels of leadership should be directed to getting American people back to work, period. Take them off unemployment. Take them off welfare. Take them off all the programs. Back to work. But there are so many things in the United States of America that need attention in the communities, and the people are not asked to help. They're not told to help. They're not mandated to help.
What you don't understand, Michael, is that the nation right now is going through a labor adjustment. And you're not going to stop it. You're not going to command it to stop. It's going to carry its course.
It will carry its course, I agree,
no,
Larkin, but we have to start from the first step, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The first step should be, how do we make it more beneficial for a company to open in America, people that Mark Andel does business with? How do you get them to also go from his area there, maybe build another facility down south to supply those people? There's no discussions about that. We're only talking about how do we give people more money to just live and have a good time.
Yeah, so Mike, I want to just add a piece there, Mike. So I just sent you guys, number one was the 1,000th cake, but the other article was front page Buffalo News yesterday. It had our Allen going for that first down at the big game in Tennessee on top. We were front page on the bottom. The picture is one of my employees putting a green toy. It says, holiday workers have plenty of options, but many don't want to work retail. So to Larkin's point, they did a whole article and they interviewed me and a few other stores about this worker and the change going on. So they don't know why people aren't going back to work. They realize people might not choose retail because it's tough. You're dealing with the customers. Everybody ain't, you know, willing to do that. People can't get workers for the holidays. But people are adjusting. They're jumping ship from one industry to another, one job to another job. The whole minimum wage used to be, we're worried about $15. Now it's $17, $18 minimum. They'll start. There's finder's fees and startup fees. But also, we don't know why people aren't going back to work. We figure they might have collected so much money with the free money that they're sitting on unemployment still. People forget there's still unemployment. There's no limit on unemployment yet. So we've been kind of dissecting why and what's going on with the workers. Now, skilled trades, when I'm interviewed, forget it. We've made major mistakes for the past whatever years.
Oh, yeah.
We can't find welders, machinists. So a ton going on, but this is the big reset button that was hit. And, you know, we're watching this. We're watching history in the United States right now. If you pay attention, don't watch the national news. They're going to tell you what they want to tell you. Be smart and watch what's going on. Listen to our show.
And, you know, Mark, I have to tell you this, too.
There's an enormous adjustment going on in the marketplace right now as far as labor is concerned. And until we recognize that fact, listen, how would you like to be? Mark is in the service industry, but he's far and away not us. Service economy, but how would you like to be a restaurant owner in New York City? How would you like to be a fast food purveyor in St. Augustine, Florida? Nobody's going to work for $8 an hour, $9 an hour anymore. I can't imagine how a family raises their children or whatever on $15 an hour. I don't get it.
No, you're right.
And the other side of that, my buddy Mikey D that supplied us for years, Air Force veteran, had the food truck at our store for every bus, had the restaurant in town and catered, just went out of business completely. He's moving down to Florida. He'll be by you, I believe, Zephyr Hills. He's leaving this weekend. He called it quits. I was very surprised because we had buses coming in still. But he took a beating. I've got another friend because the problem, you can pay more, but you've got to charge more.
Right.
So I got a friend that owns a beef on a wick restaurant here. He said, Mark, if it wasn't for me and my wife, we'd have to charge $15 for a beef on wick. You might buy it, Mark, but I can't sell it. Me and my wife are working, but, you know, we're tired of working. We're working hard. We're trying to absorb some of the expense, but truly we have to sell the sandwich for $15. So there's both sides of that, Larkin, in this huge adjustment.
Yep, and this and listen, here's the net bottom line when you talk about leadership. We have a president who is pro-jobs, pro-union, and anti-business. And you
absolutely
can't be both. You cannot be both at the same time. It just doesn't work.
How do you do that?
I don't know how you do that, but he truly is anti-business, and he's sending the IRS after citizens to check their bank accounts to see if they made.
That makes me think, Larkin, when Rich used to say, the guy's sitting on the top of the gated community guy's fence with a doobie and says, hey, take away their guns, but don't take away my security. You know,
they want to know. The government wants to know what's in your bank accounts, Larkin.
Oh my God, there's so much. Where's common sense, guys?
What the hell is going on? I mean, what are they going to do? Hire people to manage your bank account? They're going to spot check. They want to spot check people to see who's maybe knocking down on paying taxes. My Lord.
And here's what will happen. they'll start digging into everybody's bank account looking for purchases over $600, and they'll say they will have, in order to do this, can you imagine, in order to do this, they'll add two stories of employees to the IRS building, and then walk around peacocking that they just created 4,000 jobs.
Yeah, well, what you're saying, true, Mark. That's happening in our region too. Some of the people that are out, not in a neighborhood, but are out there where people have to drive to, they had to raise their prices for the dinners, for the sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
And then they said, you know, they were telling me, they said, with the price of gas and everything else going up, the price of gas is $1.11 a gallon more in our Pennsylvania area.
Absolutely.
Then we have to have chickens or whatever went up, turkeys, all the prices went up very high. So the people coming to the restaurant have to pay like 20% more. When you add all those things up, it's going to just make people stay home more. It's going to hurt the economy, not help it.
Remember when COVID hit March 13th, 2020, roughly that Friday night there, you know, we didn't know how long this would last. So, you know, Cheryl, my sister was worried. I said, well, I never sat with my feet up on a desk. Let's just take one day at a time. We'll adjust. But, you know, remember, we thought it might last a week, 2 weeks, oh, maybe three. We can handle 4, 5, 16, 17 months. And the point here is prices aren't coming down. They're still going up. This, we got to buckle up and hang on, because prices are still going to continue. If it would have been a 2, 3, 4 month area, we'd be probably adjusted. Prices ain't coming down. This is a total readjustment of our economy, and pricing, and what people
and
pay.
Larkin, Mark, and Rich is on. I have to tell you this. In the last 18 months, has anyone given us any kind of guidance how we're going to get through this, how our businesses are going to make it? From the
leadership. No.
There's no leadership. No one has told me. I listen to all the good, the better channels, and I don't listen to whole hour or half an hour.
They're worried about the next vote, Mike. Like
they're worried, but
they're
nobody
worried
is guiding
vote.
Us. Please don't get discouraged. We're going to give you PPP for 9 weeks, and then you take a bet and see if you'll be able to withstand the next 30 weeks. Maybe we'll give you another PPP or a quarter PPP. It is Paycheck Protection Program. It's the most goofiest people I've ever seen. Let me tell you, Larkin, Rich, Mark, and myself and Henry, we'd be better leaders in Washington than the whole 535 of them.
Absolutely.
Every one of them should be shipped out.
Michael, if I may.
Yes, I was just going to call on you. Rich, you are the best as always, and you've been listening.
Correct.
So what do you think?
Yes. Well, congratulations, of course, first to Mark, and good morning to everyone. Yes,
thank you, Rich.
Took a lot of notes. Listen, Michael, to what you said, Larkin, Mark, and I put it into an imaginary calculator, and I put all the numbers in, and it produced a one-word summary of everything that we've talked about on the show thus far, Mark. You want to know what that one-word summary is? I'll tell you.
I guess.
What is it?
Utopia.
Utopia. Laws, don't worry about it. Run out of money, print some more.
Yep.
China has shown the world when Sun Tzu wrote, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting, without firing a shot, Mark. How many shots has China fired in the last 18 months as we begged for supply chain access? How many shots did they fire at us? Zero. They didn't need to.
They don't need
to. They
simply
hold the ships up. That's all they did. Oh, we opened a port in Florida? Great. I just won't send ships. Oh, it's going to cost more to go through the Suez Canal to come to Florida? The Chinese say, no problem. Companies can pay for it. But when companies pay more, Mark, who actually pays more in the end? Customers.
Of course. Consumers.
Now, as a follow-up to what Larkin said, as the sort of flip side of what Larkin said, because Larkin talking about socialism and this. And I had a, I'll tell a quick story. And I'm inspired by storytelling. And I had a encounter with someone I know in business, and he identified the conservative. We were talking yesterday, and he's not the same person I knew. Okay, he's not the same person. And what I mean by that is, when I listen to him talk, and I hear him say these words like limited government and fiscal conservatism, and I asked him yesterday, Lark, and I said, so what exactly do you mean by limited government? I mean, what does that mean? Is that like a dictatorship? Like, a dictatorship's one person in charge, Mark. That's pretty limited, right? You think about it. Limited government, I mean, that's pretty limited, Michael, right? It's one person. Calls a shot. I mean, that's only one more than a deceased person, right? One more. And I asked these questions. So I started asking questions, Larkin, and I was trying to get to the bottom of all these buzzwords and buzz phrases, and I kept asking him, what does it mean to be conservative? What does that mean? And I started to ask him questions about the pandemic, which I think the pandemic, Larkin, has exposed a lot of the lies and fallacies of the conservative so-called movement of America of the last several decades. And I asked him this question. I said, if you, who is an unvaccinated person with COVID, got sick, do you have as much right to a hospital bed as a COVID patient who is vaccinated? And he said, absolutely I do. So I said then, so I guess conservatism, that you think healthcare is a right, because you believe that you have as much right to that bed. So do we now believe that healthcare is a right? Well, wait. Another question. Can companies mandate vaccinations for their employees? Absolutely not. That's unconstitutional. I said, well, where in the Constitution does it say they can't? Show me. I said, wait a minute. I thought conservatives supported pretty broad autonomy for how companies operate, Mark. So I said, does this mean that now in conservatism, you believe that someone has a right to a job? Is that what that means? So the point of it, Michael, and we had a couple other discussions, was that all of these buzz terms and words and phrases, whether they're used as identifiers or boogeyman terms, Larkin, no one really has any idea what it is that they're talking about. And the actual true definition of the Loge's definition of patriotism, which is not a definition defined by flag waving at a corner or going to a political rally and getting drunk. Those are social events. The actual definition of patriotism is actually understanding the model of governance and how we as people, what kind of relationship exists between we the people of the country and what the expectations of government are. That's what actual patriotism is. And if you went and asked Michael, you go walk outside the Polish Center and go and ask 10, 15, 20 random people, do you know who John Adams is? They'll look at you like you just exited the men's room, forgot to put your pants on. That's how they'll look at you.
Yeah, that's right.
John Adams, a man who is to Western civilization the most first world standard in man's history. John Adams is to Western civilization what Mozart and Beethoven were to classical music, what Shakespeare and Dante were to poetry. These people will look at you, Michael, like you're trying to steal from their ATM. Patriotism, we don't even understand the basics of how and why and what the country as a singular nation with sovereign states is formed and created. And you want to know something, Larkin? The only reason that commission, quote-unquote, report determined that the Supreme support shouldn't be expanded is because the Democrats don't think they've got enough voter support yet for it. If they thought they had enough voter support for expanding the court, guess what that commission's big reveal would have said? Expand the court. It's not that hard to figure out. So patriotism, no. We have two predominant ideologies, Michael, in the country right now. And I'm not going to say every person in each side of the ideology. It's not fair to make a blanket assessment of either side. But largely, the basis of each of our two major parties do not care about evidence and math and numbers and data. What is important in utopia is not what is accurate. What is important in utopia, Mark, is what you believe. That's it. That's it. So we went from a nation of laws and not of men to a nation of men and not of laws. End result, endless problems that we're sitting here trying to figure out. And none of it will be remedied, Larkin. The politicians, these guys aren't going to fix anything. There's no need for them to fix it because most of their voters just want utopia.
There's no incentive for them to fix it.
There isn't any. There is not any incentive for them to do anything different because one side says, you know, the COVID vaccine is going to turn me into a homosexual cyclops and Trump really won the election. And then the other side is still talking about Al Gore and is still talking about Russian collusion and is still talking about whatever else that they talk about. So there's no reason for Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy to get together and say, let's govern. There's no reason for McConnell and Schumer. There's no incentive. It's not what the majority of their voters want. Majority of their voters want utopia. And the politicians, Mark, will gladly oblige. Voila, end result. Here we are.
You're right. And you know, Rich, as we're watching all this happening in America, no one in the elected officials in Washington are saying, well, God, let's work to make sure that those containers don't go from $2,000 to $13,000. And then they are told, well, wait a minute. That's up to the shipping companies because the shipping companies are sitting in the water waiting to be unloaded. And every day they're there, they have to pay for the fuel and people on board. So it's going to be this amount of money by the time that ship's unloaded. Tough luck to you. And then our good people in Washington say, well, who can we speak to it about? And guess what? 90% of the ships are foreign owned. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So they decide if it's going to be $2,000, $10,000, or $20,000 a container. Nobody on Wall Street or Market Street or any other place has anything to say about it because they don't own the vessels. It's like a parking ticket. Parking ticket, you get a ticket, you stay there for 1 hour, 2 hours, they can give you a second ticket. They just don't care.
If you had a major political figure in either the Democratic or Republican Party who actually, let's say, had a big press conference and said that America in simple terms, America needs to grow up and take off the utopian blinders. Okay, that person, it would be like the end of the film Frankenstein, when all the villagers run Frankenstein into the building and torch the place to burn him to death. That's exactly what would happen then. So you've got these two different political parties with their prevailing ideologies, and I'm not including everybody in there because there are adults in both sides. But unfortunately, I wonder if the adult populations are rapidly decreasing. Because if you could define what a child believes in, a child has no care in the world, right, Michael? A
child lives in utopia.
Right.
It's where a child lives until we get older. And unfortunately, I think the population of adults who live in that child world is probably increasing. And that's your problem. How to solve it, Mark? I don't know.
Did anyone catch the 60 Minutes this past Sunday with Robert Gates that worked for over six presidents on security and whatnot? It was a beautiful segment, but he was honest and he talked about China's takeover, and he was really, wasn't a Trumper, wasn't a Biden. It was a great, great interview. I suggest even the listeners to look up 60 Minutes, Robert Gates, this past Sunday, the 17th, and he talked about how China's controlling and bought up all the ports while we're not really paying attention, South America and whatnot. A lot going on. It's a great, great segment, guys.
Right.
Remember, Mark, remember the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting or firing shots.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what's been going on for 30 years. Quietly, slowly. You know, you can walk in and slam doors and all, or you can walk in the door and just slowly be nice, sit down, relax, and just watch what's going on. This has been going on for so long. I know myself, I've been talking about it for 20 years, and people say, well, I hope you're going to have success. And I said, I can only have success if the American people see what's happening to them, to their children, their grandchildren. I had a lady beg me, she pleaded with me to have her son admitted who wants to go to a trade school. The trade school has so many people that it's a two-year waiting list. Mark, you're right. It's a change of mentality in America. People are saying, hey, if I don't train my son in heating and air conditioning, he's not going to be able to be a businessman of his own or make money for some big corporation. This training, he wants to do it. He wasn't offered it in a public high school. So he has to do it now. So there's so many things we have to do in the future. But as you can tell by the music, Larkin, Rich, Mark, Henry, thank you all. God bless. Remember, in a very short period of time, we're going to be working on November as a Made in America month. Please give us some suggestions next week how we can expand our efforts to get people more involved, encourage businesses to expand. They don't have to be big businesses, small businesses, making things that we can say, this was made in our city, this was made in our state. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, may God bless all of you and your family. Go out and support America, our small businesses, in every way that you can. David Zenya.
All right, have a great week, guys. Even buy a Yingling beer for yourself. That's made in America, Mike.